On October 10th, more than 20 organizations met in Vancouver to form the Protect Our Privacy Coalition. The group includes both Open Media and the BC Civil Liberties Association. The coalition is concerned about signs from the federal government that it plans to revive an online surveillance bill that was killed by the Justice Minister in February. It's also concerned about the actions of the Canada Spy Agency, Communications Security Establishment Canada. On Tuesday this week, Open Media and the BCCLA filed a lawsuit against the spy agency, saying that it's violating privacy rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Michael Vaughan is Policy Director at the BC Civil Liberties Association, and she joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Now, let's look first of all at the online surveillance bill that the government abandoned after it met with the Stormer protest earlier this year. What would that bill have allowed the government to do?
Well, that was Bill C-30, and it has kind of had three prongs. One was to lower the standards for access to information that is held by telecommunications service providers. So we're looking at a raft of different kinds of warrants that would be now under reasonable suspicion as opposed to reason to believe kind of standards. So lowering of standards, certain classification, the second point, of information of clients held by telecommunications service providers that would be available to police on request, no warrant, no standard whatsoever, and then the in-building of a surveillance infrastructure throughout telecommunications so that when warrants were achieved, that the architecture for that surveillance would exist. So those were the three prongs of Bill C-30. And as you say, it received a tremendous amount of public pushback. At the time that it was introduced by the current government, this bill has been kicking around for quite some time, I should point out, and this is not the only government that has said that they want to do this. But the current bill was introduced with those immortal words by then-Minister Taves, that if you didn't stand with this bill, then you stood with the child pornographers. And that kind of bold manipulation of people relative to their privacy rights simply did not resonate with Canadians.
How do you think they'll try to bring it back?
Well, what we have right now is, in the face of this tremendous opposition, the government has said that they're going to put this bill on the back burner. They're not going to pursue it. Now, we know that this has been part of the government's agenda for a long time. So what we expect them to do is to take little pieces of this bill or aspects of this bill and make them components of a whole bunch of different things. The first place that we will look is the cyberbullying bill that the government has promised that it's going to bring in. Very likely to involve some component of, again, reducing the standards for police accessing telecommunications service providers' customers' information.
Now, let's turn to the lawsuit that you filed on Tuesday. What is the Communications Security Establishment Canada, CSEC?
Yes, known kind of usually as CSEC.
Oh, good.
Yes,
the other one was hard to say.
Stop you from having to roll out all of those letters. Yes.
Wonderful.
Now, CSEC, the best way to explain this, I think, to most Canadians, given the furor that's going on internationally about U.S. spying, is that CSEC is Canada's NSA. We know that the National Security Agency has been doing this global spying. What CSEC is the Canadian version of that, and it collects signals intelligence for national security purposes. So Canada's NSA is what CSEC is.
What's signals intelligence?
Anything that's digitally available. So really, at one time, that was a relatively limited amount of communications, although never insubstantial. And this has been around since World War II, so it's not a new concept. But of course, now, our entire life is digitally mediated. So everything that essentially that happens in a way that is telecommunications that is electronicized is available for potential interception by CSEC. And you can imagine that is much of the world's communications at this point.
I understand they're getting a big shiny new building.
Yes. Now, this is an aspect that you would think would be right out of a novel, but it actually is occurring. The new building at the National security agency in the U.S., is a building that is actually modeled on the Starship Enterprise. And no, I'm not making this up. So, you know, you sit in the captain's chair as if you were actually on the Starship Enterprise. And it makes even the doors make that sound. Okay? That's what they've got as their headquarters in the U.S. We have a similarly spectacular, although not quite as science fiction pitched, new building that is so elaborate that it's being referred to by insiders as Camelot. A billion-dollar edifice, the amount of money that CSEC has been given by the government has very much expanded in the last while. There's been a big expansion in that whole section of national security work, and clearly it corresponds with the increased surveillance of all the world's digital media.
So we've been following, I guess, reports for the last while, following Edward Snowden's revelations that the NSA is really kind of listening to anybody and everybody. How about CSEC? Who are they authorized to listen to?
Well, now this is exactly the question. We know that Canada, as part of the Five Eyes, which means they're part of a group of countries, the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, that agree to share signals intelligence. So what the NSA is doing, we presumably have a mirror program of. What the signals intelligence agencies of these countries are supposed to do is all bets are off when it comes to other countries, but they're not supposed to spy, if you will, on the citizens of their own countries. However, what we've learned from the NSA is that that didn't, in fact, turn out to be the case at all. Through rather tortured interpretation of laws, including the fact, I don't know if you saw the film where the NSA representative was saying to the Congressional Oversight Committee, you know, we don't collect anything on Americans. And then, of course, the leaks came out that they're collecting millions and billions of records of Americans. And then they came back with this notion that, oh, well, by collect, we didn't mean just not take. We haven't really used that information for much, so we say we don't collect it. That's our interpretation of collect.
Right.
Okay, so when I say tortured definitions, they're so tortured that they amount to secret laws. The members of the Congressional Oversight Committee said, we've been told for years that they're not doing this, and in fact they are. So the question of what is Canada supposed to be doing versus what it is doing is really the million-dollar question. We're very concerned that Canada, who was advised by the NSA how to set up their programs, has been doing something similar, although what it is exactly, quite frankly, we don't know. Canada has arguably the worst oversight. If you think that the oversight in the U.S. that's been getting away with this for years is bad, you should see what ours looks like. Terrible. We don't even have a committee. We have one guy, the Minister of National Security, who signs off on secret papers, ministerial authorizations, and ministerial directives that allow CSEC to do what it's doing. And we have got one guy who is a commissioner who's supposed to give some oversight to this. And that commissioner has said now for years that they have concerns about the legality and the interpretation of the law that is being applied here. That, to us, is a pretty clear indication, and the clearest we have, remembering that this is national security work, so it's held in massive secrecy, that we can expect a very similar program to what's going on at the NSA, and that's why we've launched the lawsuit to try to get to the bottom of this.
Now, I understand that the way it's set up is that CSEC can listen to Canadians who are communicating with people in other countries.
Yes, that's exactly it. The two-prong program is, one, what goes on in other countries, holus bolus, and Canadians who are communicating digitally, right, in some signals intelligence way, with anybody who's outside of Canada. Now, you stop and think about that for a moment, and you go, well, that's my great-aunt in New York, my business partner in Los Angeles, my blah, 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 add it up. That's a lot of Canadians' communications. and they are allowed to collect this for national security purposes.
Yes, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who didn't communicate with someone in another country.
Exactly. So when you say, as CSEC has maintained in its very tight-lipped fashion in response to all of this international furor, we don't target Canadians. Again, this is language that needs some considerable unpacking.
Now, I understand that CSEC is authorized to collect metadata. Explain to us again what metadata is and why that's a problem.
Well, this is, again, one of the new discussions that are happening among ordinary citizens that used to happen just among technology geeks. Metadata is the data about your data. So when you send an electronic packet of information, the substance of that communication starts with, "Hi, Mom, it's me, Michael, blah, blah, blah." But that communication itself goes from point A to point B, and that location information, where I am, who I am, who I am sending this to, at what time, how many units I am sending in terms of the packet, et cetera, et cetera. All of that information is metadata. And your tiny little tweet may be only a very limited number of characters, but it generates about a page and a half of metadata. And that metadata, if you wanted to map it, shows you all the relationship networks of really all the people who are communicating in the country. So it's an incredibly rich repository of information, even though it doesn't show you what I said to my mom. It tells you a lot about my relationship with her, when I'm going to be communicating with her, etc. Now magnify that against everyone that we communicate with, and you can imagine just how rich a repository of information that is.
And what is the fear about how government will use that?
Well, the concerns are obviously that this metadata is so communicative of these networks of relationships that people who know that this is available to the government are going to have a very difficult time doing things like keeping journalistic sources safe, keeping whistleblowers safe. If it is possible to figure out who is talking to who where and to map that and to make inferences about people's actions, then we have lost a huge capacity for liberty in this country. And that's what's going on all over the world.
What are you asking for in your lawsuit?
Well, what we want the courts to do is to actually examine what is going on under the veil of huge secrecy. And our pitch is that the amount of information we are confident that is being collected here should not be authorized merely by one person, one minister, signing a piece of paper. We are calling for, on the basis of our constitutional right to be secure from unreasonable search and seizure, judicial oversight, which is a fancy way of saying we want a warrant. We want a standard to meet. We want real justification and proof of justification, because, of course, there are justifications for national security and criminal intelligence work. But you have the standard to meet, and that standard has to be adjudicated by an independent body. And, of course, that's the courts. Who else could it be?
What can people do to get on board with this fight?
Well, you can go to our website. You can go to the website of Open Media, and we have information there about what it is we're doing. Certainly, Open Media is taking the lead in putting together the citizen involvement, sign the petition, take the pledge saying this is something that you support and are concerned about. Because, of course, as we've seen with Bill C-30, the public weighing in on this really counts. They really do fear the public debate, and so we have to bring this to members of the public. It's not esoteric, although it's highly technical, shrouded in secrecy, but at bottom, it's our democratic institutions are at risk of being seriously undermined by this. Do you care? And indeed, people do.
Thank you so much for talking to us this morning, Michael.
It's been really great. Thanks for calling.
I've been speaking with Michael Vaughan. She is Policy Director at the BC Civil Liberties Association. You can find out more at bccla.org, or you can go to openmedia.ca.